Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. It's a pleasure to be with you here. This is my first time speaking at East Center this year and first time here at Suntec with you. So it's a pleasure. I see some old friends, and that's great. I also see some friends from Bukit Panjang. You somehow made your way here. Don't be too sheepish. Don't have to avoid eye contact with me. We are still one church. And it's great that we can be one church so that regardless of where we may be, whether an Eastie like you or a Westie like me, we are one in Christ and we are also one in covenant. So this morning, it's a privilege to bring you God's Word. Would you bow your heads with me as we ask the Lord to come and speak to us as we study His Word together. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. There was a woman who was standing before a judge, and this was her moment of crisis. The judge asked her, "What did you steal?" And she said, "I stole a can of preserved peaches." So the judge asked her, "How many peaches were there in the can?" And she said, "There were six." So the judge thought for a moment, and in his leniency, he said, "I sentence you then to one night in prison for each peach that you stole, six nights in total." And the woman heaved a sigh of relief that the judge was lenient, and thinking that her crisis was over. But before the judge could bring his gavel down and finalize the sentence, her husband suddenly stood up and yelled, "Your Honor, wait, wait! She also stole a can of peas." You know, I don't know what's the bigger crisis for this woman, to be locked up for 6 nights or to have a husband like this for the rest of her life. Friends, last week, Ben's son had preached and the message was on when crisis looms. And he showed us from Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 16, how King Nebuchadnezzar had a crisis. And in turn, he turned his crisis into a crisis for the wise men from Babylon, including Daniel. In a crisis, we can either spiral downwards in restlessness, as Nebuchadnezzar did, or we can be rested in the Lord through prayer by stilling our hearts before God and spilling our hearts to God, which is what Daniel did when he found rest in the powerhouse of prayer. Friends, in fact, last week's sermon was just part one of a three-part Babylonian drama. You know, I learned from Dr. Tan Soo-in that Korean drama is usually either 8 episodes or 16 episodes. Apparently, Babylonian drama, at least this one in chapter 2, is 3 episodes. Last week's was part 1. Today's is part 2. And next week is the concluding episode. But in this entire drama that we see in chapter 2, we see how Daniel moves from the crisis room to the throne room. And this drama, placed in the larger context of the book of Daniel, reminds us that God is truly sovereign. In the first half of the book, we see that God is sovereign over all nations. And in the second half of the book of Daniel, we will see that God is sovereign over all times and epochs of history. But for today, as we observe how Daniel moves from the crisis room to the throne room, the question that we must ask ourselves is, how then does a Christian today, a 21st century post-resurrection follower of Jesus, how is a Christian today to respond in the face of crisis? Our text from Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 to verse 24 informs us that to move from the crisis room to the throne room, we must entreat God in prayer and we must exalt God in praise. First, we entreat God in prayer. To entreat is to ask very earnestly. It is to beg, to beseech, to implore. And when Daniel was faced with an impossible crisis, that was exactly what he did. He entreated God in prayer as he headed straight out from the crisis room where he was in into the throne room of God. Let's look at what the text tells us from verse 17 to verse 19a. This is what it says. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Daniel sought mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. Why? So that Daniel himself and his companions might not be destroyed. For the king had given an execution order, capital punishment for all the wise men. And Daniel sought that they may not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Rather than coming before King Nebuchadnezzar, who had issued this decree, begging him, entreating him, imploring him to spare them of their lives, Daniel went to a different king. He went to a different throne room. He came before the King of Heaven, the King of Kings, and not just the King of Babylon. And he entreated God, asking for mercy that they may be spared from this certain death. Daniel knew which throne room he had to be in, not Nebuchadnezzar's, but the throne room of the King of Kings. He sought mercy from the God of heaven. Story is told of a local businessman in a small town who built a huge tavern. And the Christians from a local church in that town were very concerned that with the tavern there will be all the ills of alcoholism that will come with it. So they called for an all-night prayer and had everyone praying that the Lord would intervene. After the prayer meeting, lightning struck the bar and it was burned to the ground. So the bar owner got so mad that he brought the church to court. He sued them for the damages, saying that they were responsible. The church, on the other hand, hired their own lawyer to fight the case, arguing that this was an act of God and it was not their fault. The judge who was presiding looked at this and then he said, no matter how this case eventually comes out, there's one thing that's very clear to me. The tavern owner believes in prayer, but the Christians do not. How sad. How sad that sometimes we too, we pray, but deep down we lack that faith to believe that God will really answer the prayer that we have prayed. Isn't it? That's so sad. But if we search our heart of hearts, we do realize that sometimes we are lacking in faith in this way. Friends, how much faith do we bring with us in prayer when we entreat the Lord? Maybe we pray every day, but only as we say grace before meals. Or maybe we pray only when we have an emergency. Here is a quote that is commonly attributed to Oswald Chambers, which I think speaks to us very much. It says, "We tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all. Most of us would prefer, however, to spend our time doing something that will get immediate results. We don't want to wait for God to resolve matters in His good time, because His idea of good time is seldom in sync with ours. What is our idea of good time? It's like now. Lord, I pray now. Can you answer right now?" But very often, the Lord doesn't work on our timetable. Early on in our time of prayer here, we prayed to confess that very often we try to figure out life decisions on our own, absent of God's wisdom. And we also prayed, rightfully so, that we would cultivate a quiet desperation and a humble dependence on God in all things. I pray that that will be something that we will continue to seek, not just in that 2 or 3 minutes that we prayed earlier on during the service, but in the whole of our lives. Friends, do we need to grow in prayer? I think many of us would say, yes, we need to grow in prayer. Many of us are still in that kindergarten of prayer, maybe some in nursery, some maybe still crawling. But regardless of where we are in prayer, I think there is always space for us to grow. I'd like to share with you some practical handles of how we can grow in prayer, and particularly during this season in our church, as we call the church to a season of prayer to be awakened. So here are some practical handles, and if you like, you can take some pictures of them and scan the QR codes later on when you get home. First, if you are subscribed to our Telegram channel, you would know that in the past week, every day we had sent out one short suggestion on how you could grow in prayer. We had 6 helpful ideas over the last 6 days. So if you're not subscribed to Telegram, it's okay. You can scan that QR code, you can subscribe, and you'll still be able to see what was posted before today. The second suggestion for us, for some of us which may find this useful, is an app that is called Lectio 365. This is an app that guides us in our daily morning and evening prayer. And Ben Sun, who was preaching last week, was the one who pointed this out to me, tells me that he uses this for his own daily devotion. So does Pastor Edmund Wong. And this is something that if you are someone who enjoys using an app on your phone to help you with your devotion, might be a helpful handle for you to grow in prayer. Some of us are saying, I need to learn more about prayer. Is there some teaching that we can acquire? And the answer is yes. I'd like to recommend to you the prayer course. The prayer course, and that's the website that you can get it on. It is an 8-week guided study through the Lord's Prayer to help you to learn to pray. And this comes with weekly videos, with study guides, best done in small groups, but can also be used for your own self-study. They now also have a prayer course too, as you can see in the middle. And this is a 5-week study on what to do when God seems to be silent, when prayer appears unanswered. Another handle for us to consider are prayer retreats. And in Covenant, we run a 1-day silent retreat as well as a 4-day, 3-night silence and solitude retreat. As you would probably imagine, the 1-day silent retreat is probably more introductory. And for those of us who want a more extended time of silence and solitude, 4 days, 3 nights. The 1-day retreat is held at Bukit Panjang Center, and for Easties, you go, oh, so far, okay? Well, the 4-day, 3-night one is held at Changi Cove. So for the Westies, we'll go, oh, so far. Okay, la, quite fair, all right? But both of these are conducted by our own Pastor Sebastian Quek, and these are opportunities for us to learn to pray, particularly in this time of silence and solitude. Now, if at this point you're feeling totally overwhelmed at all this, then don't worry. Don't worry, because if you're trying to do everything that I've put up here, then probably it would be rather overwhelming. But these different options are really just to give you a variety of handles so that the different ones of us in different stages of our spiritual growth will have something that is helpful to each of us. So please, just pick one that is helpful to you, that will enable you to grow just one notch in your prayer life and in your walk with the Lord. Back to our text. One other observation is that Daniel did not pray alone. The text says that he made the matter known to Hananiah, to Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And what did he do? He told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven. In other words, he rallied his buddies to pray. And that is something that is a worthwhile lesson for us. In particular, he rallied his buddies who had vested interests in this issue. Their lives were at stake. Their heads were also on the chopping block. But friends, it is my speculation, reading the text, that Daniel did not just notify his friends, come, 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 this is what it's about, go and pray. And then he went off into his own private prayer closet to pray by himself while they prayed by themselves. I'm guessing, from what I read in the text, that they prayed together and they were huddled in prayer when later the revelation came to Daniel at night. I believe the clue to this is found in verse 19 and verse 23. Look at what it says. Verse 19 says, then, after they prayed, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. And further down in verse 23, it says, when Daniel, in his song of praise and thanksgiving, he says, to you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you, Lord, have given me, Daniel, wisdom and might. And now you have made known to me what we asked of you. So it's not what I asked of you, but what we have asked of you. And not only that, look at what he says further on. For you have made known to us. But just earlier on, he said, you have made known to me. And in the same breath, he says, you have made known to us the king's matter. I'd like to suggest that this revelation was given to Daniel. And that's why he says that you have made this known to me, that which we have asked of you together. But he also says that you've made this known to us because, and this is my speculation, that they were praying together. And as he received that revelation, he shared it with the rest so that when he gave this song of thanksgiving unto the Lord, he says, thank you, God. Thank you for making this known to me. Thank you for making this known to us. Daniel acknowledges that God had revealed the mystery to himself, but he also recognizes that there was participation, joint participation in the intercession of his buddies. Friends, what can we learn from this? That as much as it is important for us to be praying in our own private prayer closets, it is equally important that we join with others, with a community, with our buddies, with our companions, that we entreat the Lord together. We can do this in our CG, our covenantal community, so that as we pray, we don't just pray alone, but we pray with the companionship of others with whom we journey in covenant. To move from crisis room to throne room, we must first entreat God in prayer. And then, to move from crisis room to throne room, we must also exalt God in praise. When God answered the prayer of the praying quartet, Daniel did not immediately rush off to King Nebuchadnezzar with the interpretation, even though he already had it. And even though lives were at stake, surely this was a pressing matter. But that was not the first thing that he did when he received the interpretation from God. Instead, what was the first thing that he did? It says in our text today that Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He praised God in the poem that is to follow. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter." And then, in verse 24, Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation." What attribute of God do you notice that Daniel highlighted in his poem of praise? Daniel extolled God for his wisdom and might. We see that in verse 20. And in many other English translations, it's translated as wisdom and power. Indeed, who has the power to change the seasons of nature and the times and epochs of history? No one but God alone. And who is the higher power who places kings, presidents, and prime ministers in power or removes them from power? Not so long ago, last year, Sri Lanka's president was deposed. He fled to Singapore and then later to Thailand, and subsequently he returned to Sri Lanka. Just earlier this week, we would have read that the former PM of Malaysia, PM Muhyiddin, has now been charged with corruption and with money laundering. What about kings who have been installed? We know that on the 6th of May, the coronation will take place for King Charles III. He will be crowned the King of England. And also earlier this week, we would have read that President Xi Jinping has been awarded his third term as president, which is totally unprecedented. And Time magazine says it puts him on track to stay in power for life. Very interesting remark made by Time magazine says the endorsement of Xi's appointment by the ceremonial National People's Congress was a foregone conclusion. For a leader who has sidelined potential rivals and filled the top ranks of the ruling Communist Party with his supporters since taking power in 2012, one would think that such political maneuvers are what will secure one's political future. But friends, this is not at all what scriptures tell us. Rather, it is the God of heaven who installs, the God of heaven who deposes kings, presidents, prime ministers, rulers. It is the King of Kings who is the true kingmaker. But friends, why is it that Daniel highlighted God's wisdom and might in his poem of praise? Because in revealing the secret of Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel, God had given Daniel immeasurable wisdom and might. Take a look at verse 21, where Daniel, in his song of praise to the Lord, he says, God gives wisdom to the wise. This is the God to whom wisdom and might belong. He gives wisdom to the wise. And in verse 23, he says, you have given me wisdom and might. For those of us who are sharp, we will notice that the verb give, given, links us back to chapter 1, where three times we were told that it is God, it is the Lord who has given. He has given Jehoiakim into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. He had given Daniel favor and compassion, and he had given the learning and the skill in all literature and wisdom to Daniel and his three friends. It is God who gives. And here in chapter 2, we see that it is the same God who has given wisdom and might. We are reminded once again that this, our Lord, is absolutely sovereign and remains fully in control. He has the divine prerogative to give whatever he wills to whoever he wills. And by way of revealing this mystery to Daniel, God had given Daniel unparalleled wisdom and might. Why do I say that? Because Daniel now had wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that no other wise man in Babylon and possibly no other human being on earth has ever had. All the combined pagan wisdom of Babylon's finest, their astrology, their magic arts, their necromancy, their sorcery, divination, could not provide a solution to King Nebuchadnezzar's problem. They could not. It was a bit like the nursery rhyme, and you know this nursery rhyme. It goes, all the king's horses and all the king's men, they could not. What could they not do? They could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again, just like all the wise men of Babylon could not reveal or interpret the king's dream. But the divine revelation that Daniel had received gave him wisdom that truly glorified the God of Israel, who is the true and only source of wisdom. This revelation also gave Daniel might or power that even exceeded the fearsome King Nebuchadnezzar. Because King Nebuchadnezzar, despite being the mightiest man on earth at his time, he was agonized by a mere dream that was tormenting him, and he had completely no power over this dream. So instead, he lashed out at his advisors, ordering that they be executed. But Daniel now, having been given this revelation, had power. He had the power to save the entire company of wise men from certain death, and he had power to give relief to King Nebuchadnezzar from his torment. God's revelation truly gave Daniel wisdom and power that exceeded even the wisest and the most powerful of the entire Babylonian Empire. So friends, what is something that we can learn from Daniel as he exalted God in praise in a time of crisis? Well, Daniel's worship unto God was personalized. Did you notice that? It was personalized to what God had done for him. Daniel extolled God as the one who reveals mysteries, as the God of wisdom and might, and as the God who gives wisdom and might. And we can learn to do likewise, to personalize our worship unto God. Let me give you an example. Last Saturday, on the 4th of March, was my son Ben's BMT graduation, or more commonly known as the Passing Out Parade, POP. The POP was held at our Tampines Hub at 7:45, and his proud parents, sister and grandmother, we arrived at 6:45, 1 hour early, to get the best seats in the stadium. Now, you will recall that since Chinese New Year, we've been having this bout of wet weather. It was raining for almost every day. And so you would imagine we were quite nervous how this would go. Here is a record of the weather in the week leading up to the POP, which is in yellow. Can you see all the rain clouds every day leading up? It was raining. Don't know why on Thursday it didn't, a bit of sun. But for the rest of the week, it was raining the whole week. Miraculously, on the 4th of March, when the parade began, the weather was perfect. Not too hot, no rain. It was excellent for a parade. And it remained that way until the parade ended. Then it started to rain. And then after that, it poured. So for us, we thank God for how He blessed us with this weather. And for me, learning from Daniel, I learned to personalize my thanksgiving and worship to God as I learned to extol the God of the No Rain Saturday. Some of you have also heard my story about the parable of the stubborn screw. Many people remember that story that I've shared. I'm not going to share it again, but if you have, you'll remember how I told the story of how this hook refused to come off from the door because the screw that was holding it there just refused to come out. And in that, I learned how the Lord was dealing with me so gently, so patiently to deal with my stubbornness and obstinacy. For me, I give thanks and I praise the God of the stubborn screw. No time for this story, but in 2012, when my family moved to Hong Kong, we were there for a period of 6 weeks for learning, and it's a very difficult period to find accommodation. And for me, the Lord was the king of Hong Kong real estate, because He provided a place for us to stay with everything that we needed for 6 weeks. You know how difficult it is to find accommodation in Hong Kong? The Lord provided. He also provides for us, even now, for our children, for their university education fees. He supplies and He continues to supply our need. And this is how I personalize my thanksgiving and my worship unto God. To Daniel, He is the Lord, the God of wisdom and might. To me, He is the God of the No Rain Saturday, the God of the stubborn screw, the King of Hong Kong real estate, the God who supplies all my needs. My friend, who is this God to you? In your praise and worship. Would you learn from Daniel to give praise to God for what he has done in your life? And if you would just personalize it, you laugh when I tell you the God of the No Rain Saturday. But when I tell you the story that is behind it, you see how this helps to just capture that heart of thanksgiving. Who is this God to you? And how can you give praise and thanks to him for what he has done in your life, that you will remember him for many, many years to come, and that you will continue to give him praise and thanks? Friends, to move from the crisis room to the throne room, we must exalt God in praise. So how then are we as Christians today to respond in the face of crisis? We are to move from the crisis room to the throne room of God, to entreat God in prayer and to exalt God in praise. Friends, in closing, I want to point out to you one more thing about the wisdom and power of God. This Daniel praised the God of heavens and declared, "May the name of God be praised forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him." Wisdom and power belong to the God of Daniel. But look at what Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 says. "Yet to those of us who are called, both Jews and Greeks," which includes us Gentiles, "Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." The wisdom and power that belongs to the Lord God of heaven. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And this is the Christ that I call you to come into full submission unto this morning. Because this is the Christ who is the full revelation of God. That when God desired to make known himself, not just the secret of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but the fullest revelation of himself that he could make to us mere human beings, he made that revelation in the form of a person who is our Lord Jesus. So that Jesus said, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So my friends, I call you to come and know the revelation of God, to know Jesus, whom God has revealed as that ultimate revelation of himself. The mystery of God unraveled for us in the person of Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me as we respond to the Lord in prayer? Father, we give you praise and thanks because, God, you are truly the God of wisdom and power. And Lord, for each one of us in our own lives, you are the God who has done so many things that have blessed us, that have caused us to know that truly you are God. You have rescued us from crises. You have delivered us from the enemy. But above all, Lord, you have given us your Son. Your Son, our Lord Jesus, who is the power of God, who is the wisdom of God. So this morning, as we respond to you, O Lord, we want to enthrone our King Jesus, because truly, only Jesus is the true King. We want to receive the revelation of our Lord Because Jesus is that fullest revelation of God. So my friends, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if there's any one of us who's here who has heard of Jesus before, perhaps, and today you hear of Jesus again and you want to know Jesus a bit more, you'd like to know more about who this Jesus is, this revelation of God Himself, God's power, God's wisdom, Jesus, the Son of God. If you'd like to know Jesus a bit more, I'd like to ask you to just raise your hand so that we can pray with you and so that we can help you in this journey to come to know Jesus. Anyone? If you'd like to know Jesus a bit more, for the first time perhaps, if you've not known Jesus before. And for the rest of us, we say, yes, I've known Jesus, but today, I want to give my life afresh to Jesus because Jesus truly is the ultimate revelation of God Himself to us. If that's you, would you stand with me as we respond in this song? Jesus, 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 God's righteousness revealed. If you want to acknowledge Jesus again, afresh in your life, join me as we stand together in this song as we respond to the Lord.
Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. The Son of God, the Son of God, His kingdom comes. Jesus, redemption sacrifice, now glorified, now justified.
His kingdom comes.
His kingdom's rule. kingdom's power and authority. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed to Jesus, God's righteousness.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.